Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Dublin Arsenal Review Show. I'm your host, Jonathan Giles. On the Review Show tonight, Monday, October 20th, I'm joined by show regular Eamon Donnelly and by David Scoreguy Sims to analyse the big match talking points from Saturday evening's Premier League clash at Fulham's Craven Cottage ground. And remember to check out Match Day 3, mouth-watering home Champions League clash against Atletico Madrid, live on TNT Sports and in the River Bar in Dublin City Centre, home of the Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club, tomorrow evening, Tuesday, October 21st. So sit back and enjoy the show. As I said in my intro, it's great to have along my show regulars as always. First of all, to Eamon Donnelly. How are you, pal?
Evening, Jonathan. Evening, David. I've been trying to keep fit. Yesterday, I burned 2,000 calories. It's the last time I leave a chicken in the oven overnight.
I have to say, David, I love the new content week on week. You wouldn't get this anywhere. How are you, David?
You have to go far for something like this. I'm good.
It's nice to open a Monday with a smile, David. You know.
Yeah, of course it is. It's nice being at the top of that tree. Exactly. That big elephant sitting at the top of the tree. No one knows how it got there. No one knows how long it'll stay for. Thank you, Mr. Neville, for saying that. Yeah, I mean, look, it was a great weekend of football. If Carlsberg did football weekends, that was it, wasn't it? I mean, it was just relentless, you know. Spurs going ahead, going behind, losing. Let's not even talk about Liverpool. They're not even worth it. They're in fourth, aren't they now, I think?
Steady on.
Liverpool fans, are you listening? Dirty Hardy done us a big favour yesterday. Massive. But it's stay humble. It's very early days yet, but the table is starting to look very promising at the present, but we're only 8 games in. Yeah. Let's see what happens after Christmas. That's when the real season starts. Like a marathon. It's only the second half is when it begins. Nice trip along the Thames though on Saturday as we begin our match review. Fulham 0, Arsenal 1, of course, Leandro Trossard in the second half. Leandro Trossard has been involved in 7 goals in his last 12 games for Arsenal in non-competitions, 3 goals and 4 assists. Victor Gyökeres hasn't scored in his last 7 Arsenal appearances, but he came very close on one or two occasions on Saturday evening, and it's bound to happen for him sooner or later when the goals are going in. In terms of the match highlights, lads, in the first half, Ricardo Calafiori, who had a superb game, I thought, His goal disallowed with that left-footed finish pass Brian Leno, which was ruled for offside. It was a beautiful long pass by Jurrien Timber, a beautiful assist by Leandro Trossard, that deft touch, and what a finish by Caleb Fiori. Very unlucky, but it was offside when you look back on it. Joshua King of Fulham, their young lad. I think it would be fair to say his misplaced cross nearly caught out David Raya, who was backpedalling, but he done enough to tip it over. I don't think it was really going in. It was more, when you look back on the highlights, it was probably done hit the crossbar, but a decent effort nonetheless from the young lad. On 37 minutes, Bukayo Saka laid in a beautiful pass to Victor Gyökeres, who turned Fulham's defender really well, and his shot was a right-footed shot, which was powerful, was saved by our ex-goalkeeper Brian Leno, who pulled off a few top stops during the game, I thought. And at the end of the first half, Claudio Fiori was unlucky again in injury time, his volley just going over. Of course, second half, the hour mark, our set-piece coach again coming up trumps Bukayo Saka's corner. Gabriel getting in front of the defender at the front post. Great flick on, and there was Trossard to knee it in. But quite poor marking by Fulham's Raúl Jiménez. Just went to sleep. But nonetheless, we'll take any goal that goes in. 67 minutes was the big talking point. VAR and Anthony Taylor involved here. Bukayo Saka cut in from the wing. Skinned Kevin of Fulham. And when you look back on it, it probably wasn't a penalty. He did tackle him just on the line, I think, but I'll get your opinion, lads, in a few moments. And then in the 94th minute in injury time, Gyökeres swiveled Calvin Bassey, and his strong right for the strike was well saved by Leno, and then his rebound was again saved from Martinelli's shot. So I thought Leno had a good game against ourselves. I come to yourself, Eamon. What was your take on Saturday's 1-0 win over Fulham?
Well, okay. Well, the first thing that I'd say is that Arsenal are different this year in that they trust their defending, right? And rather than kind of get pushed back all over the pitch, they allowed the game to settle. Fulham were on the front foot for about 15 or 20 minutes. But because we trust our defence, we allowed that to happen. And we kind of got into a game of chess, and after about 20 minutes, we started finding little gaps, little pockets, and started dictating the game. So for the first 25 minutes, we didn't have a shot on goal. But by half time, we had 8. So that'll tell you, rather than kind of go out and be frantic and playing against a low block and trying to break through, Arsenal were happy enough to feel their way into the game, knowing that the defence is solid, and they got control of the game and actually controlled the game from 25 minutes in to the end, right? The second thing is that Gabriel tried to give them a bit of encouragement. I put it down to the long distance and travel, but Gabriel was actually, I think he was doing Mustafi for Halloween for the first 20 minutes, giving the ball away, and that gave him a bit of encouragement. But what I really liked about that was after 20 minutes, the way he recovered from that, and he was faultless for the rest of the game. Himself and Saliba were imperious. In fairness to Gyökeres, he's not scoring goals, and in fact, he missed an absolute sitter, the one that he was in towards the end, and he flaked it over the bar, which is the sign of a fella who really needs to score and wants to score. But he gives us something different in the direction of his runs, because he runs in behind defenders. And what that does then is it opens a kind of space in front of that dome. I actually thought Eze, to be honest with you, was a liability.
He
I thought he
gave
was a
the ball
liability
away a
in
lot,
defense.
didn't he? Yeah,
He
he
was
was great.
off the pace. He was a liability. And I'm sure, I'm not down on Eze. I think he'd be great for us, but he just wasn't at it on Saturday. And a lot of people are quick to jump down Trossard's neck. Trossard has been excellent in the last few weeks, right? But it's a different Trossard. He's not out hugging the touchline, so it's not now which do you prefer on the left, Trossard or Martinelli. Trossard and Calafiori are causing absolute mayhem. going inside in the pitch. And Gyökeres is getting out onto the left. Gyökeres, in fairness to him, is actually sacrificing himself a lot to open up spaces for the team. So look, to be honest with you, after 25 minutes, once we got control of that game, there was only one winner. I wasn't at all nervous. And normally if you're 1-0 up away from home, you're going in. I wasn't at all nervous. We were totally in control of that game. Saka was unbelievable. But I just think that we have become mentality monsters. And that's where Arteta wanted to bring us. We have a mentality. You saw when, our own serial killer, Mikel Merino, came on. He's just a mentality monster, and I thought we were too strong for Fulham. And I thought it was an easy enough 1-0 away win against a very, very difficult team. And I was pleased with it,
Yeah, just before I bring in David, just a quick rundown of the lineups, early lads, just before I bring yourself in, David. It was David Raya in goal, Calafiori, Gabriel, Saliba and Timber at the back, Rice, Zubimendi and Eze in midfield, Trossard, Gyökeres and Saka up front, and our substitutes on the night were Mikel Merino, Gabriel Martinelli and Christian Norgaard. In terms of match stats, just briefly, 9 shots to Fulham, 16 to ourselves. None on target for Fulham, 5 to ourselves, and possession wise, 37% to Fulham and 63% to ourselves, and 535 completed passes for the Arsenal. To yourself, David.
Jonathan, just before you bring in David, I just want to, as you're calling out the team, there's one. David Raya had nothing to do in the goals in the conventional sense. But if you look at his heat map on the pitch, right?
Yeah, we've
And
just, yeah.
you see how he reads the game and gets it. Like, he spends most of the time only 10 yards shy of the halfway line. And he's putting us into the. The positions he's taken up, he's our first point of attack.
Yeah.
It's incredible to watch.
His
Because
ball distribution aiming is quite incredible,
I,
isn't it?
but also he's playing like a central defender.
Yeah, he's that high. Yeah, we've seen it. Yeah, it's only when you're at matches you realise how high up he actually is. Yeah, spot on. David, a good trip along the Thames. Your
Oh,
analysis.
I'm just going to tear my notes up now because obviously Eamon's just literally delivered my notes. So those are my notes, right? So I'm going off notes now because I've appreciated
David,
that
as a,
100%.
stay on your feet.
I know David's well capable to holding himself with no notes. Go ahead, David.
Well, I mean, obviously, yeah, 100% agree with all of that. I just want to pick up a couple of things that I'd like to know. When Raya's going to get his first assist, just to go backwards, what you've just been talking about, because I think it's coming. I think Raya will get an assist directly from his hard work. He's going to put a ball in over the top and someone will take it down. It'll be an assist to Gyökeres and he'll bang it in the back of the net. And that's coming this season. I think also that this belief, the mentality, it's the belief. That first 20 minutes, half an hour, we weren't very much at the races. Absolutely, we all could see that. But there was a belief to buy the time to get our shit together so that we would then go on, right? And that's the difference between this season and the seasons before. We got our shit together a lot quicker and we fixed our problems. And in previous seasons, we took too long to fix those problems and we go one behind. And that's because our defense is absolutely solid, as we've said. I totally just want to talk about the man Gyökeres for a minute because it's like you just talked about Raya, what you see in the away games, I mean, the home games that I've been to see Arsenal this season, and I've been to nearly all of them. Watching him create space and drag players away, even for the goal, you could see that he took three players away to release that space for the knee of Trossard, right? And it's definitely, like you say, the sacrifice idea is very true. And I think once people start thinking, okay, I can see what he's doing here, let's put another one on Saka or whatever, Gyökeres will get his chances even more. And it's just a matter of time, right? Saka was, he started slow, but then he had one of his best attacking games. He did not give up. He really wanted to get on the score sheet. He wanted to create and he wanted to deliver. And I thought it was, he's now taken his captaincy on, and it's a very interesting way that he's developing as a player now even more because of that. You've got to remember he's still very young, you know, and we think that he's this older guy, but he's still very young. He's a lovely bloke. And yeah, we are very lucky to have him, and long may he stay fit. And with Madueke coming back, we can now start to rotate them a little bit to give Saka a little bit of a rest because it's going to be a very long season. As you were saying, we've got Champions League this week, we've got Champions League the following week, we've got Spurs, we've got Bayern Munich coming up, we've got all these massive games. You know, we've been through a terrible start. We've hit a middle area now, but there's big games around the corner, guys, which are going to define our season. Thoroughly enjoyed the game. You know, it's another set piece FC goal, which I think is just hilarious. I think we're showing that we are the masters. It's like the way the media go, and it's like we've invented set pieces. No one's ever scored from a corner, and it shouldn't be allowed. I mean, it's comical, but you know, we'll keep doing it. I don't mind. We've only scored 3 goals in open play this season, you know? So let's just keep going. Let's try and we'll put that ball in the back of the net however we can. If it has to be a knee, it has to be a long throw, it has to be a free kick, it has to be a corner, you know, or it has to be beating 5 men and burying it. We will deliver those goals.
David, that's
Yes, mate.
really interesting what you said, right? I would just want to comment on one thing, right? The reason why we score so many set pieces is because we get so many. So if teams want to come and put 11 behind the ball, close to their own goal, the percentage.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.
Chances of getting a corner are very, very high.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
They can't have it every way. If they
Yeah.
come out and play us, we'll score from open play.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But that's why, our set piece gurus are exactly looked at that. They've looked at the low block. How are you going to beat that? For exactly, you're going to get a ricochet, it's going to go off, the goalkeeper's going to have a fumble, you're going to get another corner. And also, we've got our corner takers back now. You know, we've got Rice and Saka, and they are fantastic at delivering the ball. Can't decide who's best. Probably Rice has got a little bit ahead of it. I haven't consulted the stats for assists between the two of them, but you know, we obviously they drill it, they practice it. I don't know if you saw or you're able to see the social media that Arsenal put out this morning from them in training, practicing corners. And it goes in off the post. Kalafuri, I think, heads it in, and the players go absolutely mental team by team. But you've got Hines having a massive argument with. It's like they're even practicing the celebration and the argument with Arteta and Hines. It's absolutely brilliant. If you go on the Arsenal socials, you can find it. It's classic. It's they're so happy and they're having great fun. And Arteta's again made a team of players with no characters of,
David, I don't know whether you were at a game last season. It was a midweek game in December where we played Man United. And I don't think they crossed the halfway line in the whole game. And we scored from two corners. And everybody was moaning that we're just a set piece outfit, lump the ball into the box and score. But what I'd say to that is, and I want the listeners to be very clear about this, the reason why teams play in a low block against us, because they're afraid that they come out and play us, that would tear them to pieces. So I'm just saying, all of these naysayers who are anti-Arsenal, and long may it continue, by the way. I've always liked the fact that they hate us. So what? You know, that is a big jar of so what. I don't want to be popular among other fans. I don't care about you. I don't care about you. I don't care about when it comes to football. I care about people in a big way, but when it comes to football, I don't care about you and I don't care about your club. I care about us. So we'll do whatever it takes to win. And like for years and years and years, everybody was saying we had a soft centre, a soft underbelly. Teams
Yeah,
come out and defend against us.
no cojones.
Yeah, no cojones, right? Troy Deeney. Teams
Yeah.
came out against us. They set with a low block. We tried to play ticky tack. We get picked off on the break, and we were gobshites. Right now, oh, it's not fair because we've actually become good at finding a different way.
Yeah, and also, I mean, Arteta's bought and developed very tall players. We've got a real physical presence now. If you look at those players on that pitch, our defense, Calafiori, I mean, he's a mountain, and now we've got this fat trap bully that they're talking about or whatever, Gyökeres. What a load of rubbish. They're worried that when he starts scoring, that we're just going to go ahead. And I think it's just coming. He's getting more and more used to the Premier League. We're playing him in a certain way, exactly to create space. And as I said, if you go to the if the TV always edits these matches in a certain way, Sky and TNT have their way, and they go, you don't get to see Gyökeres is harrowing. He's like a pit bull. He's on that defense. He's on that goalie. He's closing people down continuously, and you see that when you're at the game. But they don't show it, and they don't talk about it on Sky or TNT or Amazon or whatever platform you are watching it on. And I know people watch things on very many different platforms. And sometimes there is a situation where if you get a chance to go to the game, you'll see Arsenal play in the true manner that Arteta set them up as. And it's a beautiful thing to watch at the moment. It really is. It's very, very powerful. So yeah, I totally agree. We will continue playing the way that we want to. And we're not gonna hark to any media that's gonna say you've got to ban corners, you can't let Arsenal have a corner, you can't let them have a throw in. I loved it when Calafiori took the towel, he took Pope's towel at Newcastle and started drying the ball. And the ref came over and took the towel off him and wouldn't let him drive the ball. I mean, what a load of rubbish. I mean, but yeah, long may it continue.
Speaking of Newcastle, I see our old friend Jonathan Wurzel Gummidge was at it again at the
Oh,
weekend.
yeah, Nick, well done,
Yeah.
Adam.
It
Oh,
was a beautiful goal. Did you see it?
Wurzel, how are you?
I mean, unbelievable. Who is that guy? He's like he's in the Scorpions or something. He's unbelievable. I mean, I know my hair's long, but Jesus Christ. I mean, he's maybe we should all get a nice tash. Yeah, unbelievable. What a character. What a character. But listen, he's getting more goals than Isak, so you can't
Yeah.
say anything, can you?
Stay humble, David. Stay humble. Whatever you do, stay humble.
I'd like to get your take, Eamon, on the big VAR penalty incident. In your opinion, was it a penalty, and did Anthony Taylor and VAR get this right?
Who, me?
Yourself.
I think Anthony Taylor's decision was wrong. And I think it wasn't a penalty. But this is but the there's a subtext to this. It could have been a penalty because as B himself explained, the contact was on his leg first and then the ball. So therefore the foul happens before winning the ball contact. And in my mind, it's not a penalty, right? But what VAR is supposed to do is intervene when there's a clear and obvious error. And if we are talking about this high and low, left and right, then it's not clear and obvious. So the on-field decision should have stood.
David, in your opinion, was this the correct decision?
I mean, biased as I want to be, I think it was a penalty. I mean, you can't take a player out. It was knee to knee. He took him out with, and then he got the ball. We can't get into this rut because you're just going to have people running into players. Well, I eventually got the ball when he's on the ground, and I went away with it. I just think that it's funny how these things are always Arsenal. They're always our team. We always get these things against us. You know, we have the situation up at Newcastle again with Gyökeres with the same situation with the goalie. We didn't get it. It went to VAR. It took half an hour. Again, it was nine minutes or something or other. This one here because the machine broke. You know, at the end of the day, if the machine breaks, right, and you haven't got the screen, you go with the on-screen
I
decision.
think they had the
That's it.
television
The
now the
referee.
king's head.
Oh, Jesus. Then we're
I
all in
think the
trouble.
screen they were using was the television now the king's head on Blackstock Road.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I mean, it's like if you know, if their screen's not working, you've got all these play people at the ground and around the world are sitting there thinking, well, that's 7 minutes, that's 8 minutes. I mean, you know, it's like the ref had decided, let the ref decide he had given a penalty, then go with the on-field decision. I think technology, that needs to be written in. I'm
No,
sick and tired of games stopping and then this length of time, and then they're quite happy to put another 10, 12 minutes at the end of the game, right?
lads.
Because it's good for advertising. It keeps people watching.
Yeah,
You know,
it's
it's,
American football,
yeah,
but
exactly.
Clare, have you noticed that I watched a lot of football over the weekend because I happened to be in all weekend that I had a bit of eye surgery and stuff. The amount of goals that now actually go to VAR is incredible. There's barely a goal scored that doesn't get a check.
I think it's kind of ruining the stat side of it as well, isn't it? Like too much is going to VAR.
It's not ruining it for Sky Sports, Jonathan.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, it's entertainment, isn't it? Yeah, it's the
It's a
whole.
circus, you know?
And the thing is, it ruins it completely when you're in the ground. And I've said this before so many times. If you're there and the goal goes in when it's a really tight game, and you all look at each other just for 1 second and go, which is. Yeah, okay. And then you start to celebrate, you've lost that moment of complete joy,
David,
you
when
know.
Reece Nelson put that goal in, one of the most
Bournemouth. Yeah,
ecstatic,
oh mate, I was
like
there.
I turned around straight away to Matt Bourne and I said, "This is going to VAR," and he looked at me, and it actually did go to VAR. Like, what the actual,
I
you
know. But then you've
know?
got, but then you have to have a moment like Rice against Madrid. Where it's 42 yards and it's you know from a set
Yeah.
piece and it's up over the top and it's in the back of the net and no one touched it and no one got in the way or anything and then you go mental. But these goals, they're few and far between. There's always controversy. It's the way they look back now in the passage of play, maybe four or five passes back. It's like, you know, it's going back three or 4 minutes to check all the way through to see if somebody scratched their nose offside at some point in whatever. It's just getting crazy, and I think eventually there will be some, you know, this is obviously the thing this season, as there is always, and let's hope the technology improves. You know, there are so many, I mean, we shouldn't just start to get on VAR because we can do a whole show on that. But moving on, I feel that it was incorrect with the length of time it took. You're working with broken machinery. Stick with the on-field decision. But more importantly, you can't have people ploughing through players to then get the ball. But I've seen them given, and I've seen those not given. So at the end of the day, yeah, fair enough. It
David,
probably.
there was one thing that you mentioned about Trossard's goal, how was poor marking. But watch it again. Trossard makes him go blind. See, we've a game over here called Gaelic football, and if you're playing up in the forward line, you're always told make the defender go blind because there's no offside, you see. And what that means is you go behind him, and once you go behind him, he can't see it. And then if you go behind him, you move across the back of him onto the other side. Trossard moved there. He made him go blind. It was a very, very clever piece of work. Those little things don't get picked up, but he's actually made him. He's made the defender go blind, and then all of a sudden, the defender can't see him. And I have to say, like you say, he needed in Jonathan, but it took control to do that. He could have swiped at that.
Oh yeah, totally. Oh, he knew what he was doing.
He had his eye on the ball
If you
all
look
the
at
way.
Mason Mount yesterday, right? A ball came off, I don't know, Joseph Djoukashvili or Stalin or whoever his name is in the goal.
Marmor, that's
Right,
really.
yeah, right. And Mason Mount tried to click it in with his heel, right? But if he, like Trossard was in the same position, the ball arrived at him in a split second and he had the presence of mind. I'm going to use the part of my body which is going to give this the best chance of getting into the goal. It was a great finish, you
Yeah.
know.
And with all the new signings we've made, Leandro Trossard has really made a big statement this season, hasn't he? He wants to be in that certain 11. You know, when you see he's been involved in 7 goals across his last 12 games. You know, I don't know whether you could say is he a bit of an unsung hero, you know, because his impact is, you know, it's been huge in games, hasn't it, since he's joined the Arsenal.
Yeah, new contract, and he's happy, and we all thought he was going to go at the end of the season, and you know he's come back rejuvenated. And again, that is down to Arteta telling them quite clearly, you know, that they've got to fight for their places, and he's taken that on board, you know, and has realised that he wants to. And also, like you say, he's playing more inside and he's going behind and he's working in a slightly different game in a different position, and that's improved him. And that's down to the manager, and that's down to tactics. They've seen that his quality. And you know, put him on as a sub, and he keeps scoring all the time. Now it's like, okay, let's start with this guy, but let's make change the position a little bit. I just want to talk about Eze a little bit because, yeah, he was off the pace. I think he's settling in. We all thought he would settle in quickly because he's from the Premier League. He's played against these teams before, but he's never played for the Arsenal. He's never worn that shirt. You know, he wants to do well. He's probably in his back of his head thinking, you know. He loves being with the Arsenal. He grew up, he had his time, he was let go, he's come back. He feels personally a lot of pressure, and I think he needs to shake that out. I think it's a purely a mind mental thing, and Arteta is the man that will cure that. So I'm not worried. I think he will
Now,
become
what will
a
happen to him,
very
David,
quality
is
player.
what will happen to him is he'll have a game where he gives a 5-star performance, and that'll just kick him on.
Yeah,
But what
totally.
I'm saying is that on Saturday, he was a liability in the first. In the first, I thought the second half he improved a bit. He started finding a few channels, but he just Eze has to learn that you can't just give away the ball. If you're the big fish in a small pond, they can indulge you. And you can give away the ball because you'll do something else great. But with this machine, you can't be giving away the ball. I compare, like, look at Martin Zubimendi, for example. He was like a ticking clock at the weekend. Like, he does absolutely nothing other than take a touch on the ball and give it to a player in a better position. About 90 times a game. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, sometimes Zubimendi, what does he do? I tell everybody he does. He gets 90 touches in a game and gives it to somebody in a better position. But he's like a ticking clock. But this Arsenal team really respects possession of the ball, and Eze has to be drilled into that a little bit more. I think he gives the ball away too cheaply.
Can I get
No,
your take?
I agree. I mean, it will be, sorry, can I just say, it'll be very interesting tomorrow night when we play Atletico Madrid, what team he puts out in that area, because both Rice and Zubimendi are one booking away from missing the next Champions League, which obviously is Prague away. And then obviously we got Bayern at home. So that might be spinning it and think, okay, well, if they get a yellow or not. But then again, would they perhaps be rested anyway for Prague?
I
Who
think he
knows?
starts 1 year.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. I mean, Eze again, but Eze needs experience in the Champions League because it's new for him. Okay, so we've got to remember that. So maybe it'll be very interesting. If Eze's on the bench tomorrow and Namwiri steps in, then that's a little bit of a change. And yeah, I'm fascinated to see how we're going. I want a full strong team tomorrow night. I want it to be as strong as possible. There's no, you know, we need to get in that top eight. It's absolutely imperative.
David, were you not here on the show last week when we put two teams up?
Yes, I was.
There's
Oh,
no such thing. See, there's no such thing as a full strength team. This is the point.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Let's not course it, lads. We don't want any injuries coming up. I want a team A and a team B with no injuries.
I'd actually put David Raya in instead of Martin Odegaard to put Kepa in goal.
Well, I was
Just
just saying.
for purity, as David said in the early part, just for the assists, because it's coming sooner or later for Gyökeres, isn't it? It's bound to happen.
Ball over the top, Raya, Gyökeres assist. That, you know, that's it. It's coming.
I'd like to get your thoughts, lads, with a few moments, 5 minutes or less that we have, on our ex-Gooners that played for Fulham. Leno Iwobi and Smith Rowe. What did you make of their performances, Eamon?
Well, Leno, I love that guy. I think he's a great goalkeeper, and he was really good, particularly the double save that he made.
Yeah, it was
There's,
super,
like,
wasn't it?
Martinelli thought he only had to put the rebound in, and Iwobi was terrific.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And Emile Smith Rowe was anonymous.
Yeah, which is quite, it's quite sad from the talent that he was. Name says, I don't know what's going
The
on. I
boy
don't
can
know.
get back if his head gets right.
Yeah,
Simple as that.
you nailed it
I
on.
mean, I have a question for you. I mean, if Iwobi became available, would it be worth bringing back? Because
Why?
I think he's quality. I think he's a quality player. I think he's got
No,
everything.
because is he better than Eze?
No, but
There's your answer.
if we need.
It's as
Well,
blunt
put it this
as
way.
that.
He was,
You don't get that analysis on Sky.
Eamon, you're straight talking, but I would say he was better than him on the match, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But this is the fast show.
We're in the
No,
fast lane here.
I don't think so. I think we're a level above Iwobi, but what I love is Iwobi's attitude has brought him to a level. He's actually stressed himself to the max. Do you know what I mean? I think he really is delivering performances at the height of his ability, you know?
He was a good player for the time when he was there at Arsenal, you know. And I think since he's gone to Fulham and Everton helped him a lot as well, his game is his all around game has improved, you know. It's a pay, you know, getting in the right areas, assist wise and scoring, you know. It's would he come back to the Arsenal? It's hard to ask. The same as his, who would you pick over him? as a
Yeah,
default.
well, I mean, at the moment, it seems that we're buying super wonder kids from Argentina, Spain, you know, 17-year-old, 16-year-old kids. I mean, they're really doing the homework, trying to get the youngest and the best, and we're in battle with some of the biggest clubs in the world over these players. So it's going to be very interesting. You know, I'm hoping at some point we get to see Max in the Champions League. That's
Yeah,
that
you
one.
will, of course. You will, of course.
And
I
as David
think it'll
said
be
there,
very
sorry, on
interesting.
X, he's only on £300 a week. I remember seeing his post there, which is,
No, but he's not allowed to be on anymore. Like, that's.
isn't it great to be on more than that kid at the moment? Because in a year's time, I'll be on 40 grand. I still feel chuffed when I see them wages. I'm actually on more than an Arsenal player. My life isn't
Instead of
that
calling Max Delman, they should call him minimum wage Delman.
bad. We'll have none of that malarkey on this show out here.
Yeah, well, I bet
Minimum
come
wage only brings fear.
the 1st of January, his birthday's New Year's Eve. So on the
Yeah,
1st of January, I
be on
expect that to
3,000.
have three more zeros added to it very
So for the
quickly.
moment, I think we can all celebrate. We're on more than a 15-year-old, which is quite sad when you're at 40 years old. But anyway, a result that's left Arsenal top of the table with 19 points. Second are Man City, coming bit resurgent again. Haaland on fire now, the season with 11 goals now, 16 points they have. Bournemouth are having an incredible season under Antonio Areola with all the outgoings that they had. Tour position on 15 points. It's incredible with the transformation they've had. And Liverpool forward, which is a beautiful sight, with 15 points. And that defeat at Anfield earlier on the season doesn't look that bad now when you look at the table. And that point against Man City has proven to be quite important when you see
Dominic.
the way the last few games have gone.
Jonathan, I haven't said it for a few programs, but if everybody listened to me, everything'd be
I really
okay.
didn't want to say Eamon was right yet again. I
We
think
flipped 9 points on Liverpool in the last three
yeah, 9 points,
Eamon
absolutely.
consistently gets me in the corner, and I'm always down.
But a bit like that doesn't make Arteta the best manager in the world and Arsenal the best team in the world, in the same way as he wasn't the worst manager in the world when we dropped a few points.
Yeah.
Stay humble. We're doing all right. We're doing okay. We're in good
But I
shape.
think the point as well is that we're going to these places the same. We had 9 points in 3 games, and last year we got 1 point out of those same games. And I think that's the difference now. We're going back and we're getting revenge at these places: Fulham, Newcastle, West Ham at home. We are taking these games and we are playing them full on. And yeah, long, as I said, long may it continue. But he
Because
set
we're
them up.
different.
Yeah, I
You're
just think,
because we're different.
yeah, but also just keep it the same. Don't change
Not
anymore.
changing.
Literally, this, you know, until they fig anyone someone tries to figure us out, this is working. Like exactly what we said, the pressure, the low block, the corners, the set pieces, everything, the mentality. We've had injuries as well. Let's not forget it. Odegaard's out at the moment. Saka's been out. Madueke's been out. Jesus
Habits.
is out. Havertz is out. Havertz is coming back. That's going to throw some real sparkle on top of
Yeah.
that striking force as well. And I think that might just literally be the kick that Gyökeres is going to get when he comes on as well. So it's going to be very, very interesting the next 3 to 4 weeks. But hey, we've got another international break to sit around and do absolutely sweet FA in the middle of it.
How dare you bring down the show like that, David? May I get your man of the match from Saturday, Aimer?
Saka,
Saka all day long. He was incredible, wasn't he? What a performance from Starboy himself. But yeah, 1-0 to the Arsenal rang out along the Thames on Saturday evening, and I'll take a 1-0 all season long if it guides us to the title. Our next fixture, of course, is tomorrow evening, match day 3 of the UEFA Champions League against Diego Simeone's Atletico Madrid side. Catch all the action pre and post match in the River Bar. I'd just like to thank my guests this evening, David Sims. Thanks for coming on, pal, and also to Eamon Donnelly. He got the Moretti down him again at the Jordan to 40 minutes. Catch a show on Spotify and also on the Dublin Earth YouTube channel. Eamon, do you want to sing us out quickly?
And now the end is near. I am the President of Ireland, and so I face the final curtain. Whistle the whirling wind while woodpeckers wallow wildly. Now, there you go. What do
That was beautifully, bro.
you think? Come on.
He's into his last 4 days as president, but he'll always be our president on the Dublin Airs podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.